This is a workshop. We're going to be talking about the quiet time. This is not a lecture time, so feel free to jump in. If you have any questions, we'll try to answer them right along. I think the first question we have to ask is, how do you get to know somebody? The answer was you talk to them. You spend time. Bingo. That's the right answer. I've been married to my sweet bride 48 years. I did not pick up the telephone book and scan down and find a name that I thought was nice and cute and call her up and say, Tommy Sue, you don't know me, but I wondered if you weren't busy next Wednesday night if you might marry me. You know, she'd think it was some kind of a nut and hang up the phone. No, we were introduced and we spent time together. That's how we got to know each other. I came to Christ when I was 29 years old. I've been a Christian for 42 years. You do the math, it's 71. After I came to Christ, I was discipled. At that time, usually about 6 months was all that you pretty well needed to disciple a guy to get him out where he would become a disciple maker himself. It took my discipler 2.5 years with me. I was a slow learner. But I remember the first time that we got together, he asked me if I had ever had a quiet time. And I said, obviously not. What do? You sit in a corner and be quiet? He said, well, let me ask you. Regardless of what your politics are, if the President of the United States, and at that time it was Lyndon Johnson, I wasn't a big fan of Lyndon Johnson, but I respect the office. He said, if he would call you on the phone and say to you, I'm going to be in Yukon, Oklahoma, tomorrow morning on Air Force One. I want to spend some time with you. What would you do? I said, oh, my goodness. I'd kind of brush up on foreign affairs and the economy, and so I could have something to talk about with the president. And he said, I've got something far greater than that. King of Kings and Lord of Lords wants time with you. And I said, Jack, what in the world for? Because he loves you. And on this sheet, I did a character study one time on the life of Christ, what each book of the Bible had to say about Jesus, who he was or what he did. And I'm thinking, if you had an opportunity to spend time with somebody that identifies with your suffering, anything that you're going through, depression, discouragement, whatever, rejection, loneliness, whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, he can identify. If you had time to spend with somebody that's the provider of ultimate satisfaction, wouldn't you look forward to spending time with that person? We're not talking about 66 different men here or 66 different people. We're talking about one. We're talking about one person. I started having a quiet time and I was challenged. Oh, my wife called me up. I thought this is really neat. She found this in her quiet time today. This was by Oswald Chambers. And any soul who has not that solitary place alone with God is in supreme peril spiritually. I will be dogmatic. If you are not having a consistent quiet time, you're not in fellowship. There are three reasons I've discovered why most people don't have fellowship. Number one, they don't know God. They don't know Him. So you don't spend time with somebody you don't know. The second reason is they know God, but they don't know about the quiet time. And the third reason is they don't love God enough. Every person that I've ever have talked to that has been out of fellowship with God, has nothing to do with salvation, has everything to do with fellowship, it started off by them neglecting that time. Neglecting that time. Now, this fellow challenged me. I said, this may be old stuff to you, and if it is, bear with me. but this worked for me. I said, what do you do? And he said, well, how much time do you have to spare? And I said, well, I'm pretty busy. Well, he said, how about 7 minutes a day? You think you can spare that with God? I said, well, yeah, I guess so. He gave me a little formula. He said, take 30 seconds. 30 seconds and get ready. You're meeting with the King. Get ready. Now, I've gotten up early my whole life, but I am still foggy-headed in the morning. Long about 10 o'clock, I wake up in a new world. Where am I? But so get ready. Boy, I pour the coffee down. Now, he said, take 2 minutes and read the Bible. Not study. He said, get you a paraphrase, get you a translation if you like the King James. I thought I used the King James when I got started. I thought it was good enough for the Apostle Paul. It's good enough for me. But I read the Bible. Just read it. How does God speak to us? Through the Bible. That's how God talks to us. Through the Bible. And you just read the Bible. 2 minutes. You can read a lot in 2 minutes. And he challenged me. He said, if you don't have a particular place to read, I would recommend the book of John. It has 21 chapters. You can read a chapter in 2 minutes. In 3 weeks, you will have read the whole book of John. So that was a good challenge for me. I decided to do that. Then he said, you take 30 seconds, and think of the little acrostic acts, but A for adoration. Adoration. Just telling God you love Him. Just tell Him that you love Him. And praise Him for who He is. God really helps us. He gives us scripture. Psalm 103:1, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise His holy name. Oh God, You have created everything that was made. If You didn't make it, it wasn't made. You are sovereign. You're omniscient. You know everything there is to know. You're omnipresent. You're everywhere. You're omnipotent. You're all powerful. It is good for us to praise God. It's good for us. Now, understand, God does not have an ego like I do. But it is good for me to recognize who He is and praise Him for it. Okay, take 30 seconds. Confession. C is for confession. Keep short accounts with God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I learned a long time ago, don't try to tell God sin isn't sin. Don't waste the time. Don't waste His time. Don't waste your time. He will not go for it. He cleanses us. I remember I used to haul hay. Anybody ever hauled hay? Oh, yeah. Hauled hay. Alfalfa. It's got those little stickers, you know, those little leaves. My brother and I used to haul hay and you know, we ran some cattle and we'd be in this barn and stacking this hay. You know, I was the younger brother. He'd lift it up to me, but I was up at the top of that barn. There's no air up there. It's like 200 degrees, and he would just, you know, I'd just be roasting up there. But after we got through, I'd have all these little alfalfa leaves all over me, and I'd get in the shower, and I'd just stand there. That is the world's greatest feeling, to have all that stuff and scratch me, all that going down the drain. That's what God does with our sins. As far as the east is from the west, though your sins be as scarlet, worse than whiter than snow. Confession, keep short accounts with God. Psalm 139:23-24 is my prayer every day. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If things aren't right, you get along with God, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. You can confess it, Sometimes you have to go make it right with somebody that you might have offended. Okay, 30 seconds for Thanksgiving. That's the T. Just being thankful. Oh God, I thank you for the joy of the stable, the forgiveness of the cross, and the hope of the empty tomb. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for my health. Thank you that I slept in a warm bed last night. Thank you that I'm passing through here. The best is yet to come. Thank you for the Father who loved me before the foundation of the world and knew me. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives in me. Just thank you. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is good for this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, math students, we've got 2.5, 3, 4 minutes. Take the next 3 minutes, that equals 7 minutes, for supplication. That means praying. Praying for others, 1.5 minutes, and 1.5 minutes for yourself. Now, he challenged me to do that. Had he told me 30 minutes or an hour, I never would have done it. There's two reasons I did it. Number one, I told Christ I'd meet with him. Number two, I was going to be held accountable from the fellow that discipled me. You know, you don't hold me accountable, I may not do it. You hold me accountable, I'll do it. So we'd go, and he'd say, oh, and also, he made me memorize Scripture. Shame on him. I was the last one in my class to get Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. I was the last one in my class to memorize the preamble of the Constitution. And that deal with senior English, I came to bury Caesar, not to praise him. I never did get that. I had to come in and do extra work past senior English because I couldn't memorize. And he told me, he said, how often do you use the preamble of the Constitution? I haven't since I was in high school. So when's the last time you recited Lincoln's Gettysburg Address? When I was in high school. He said, I'll tell you what, it won't be a day past that you won't use Scripture. It won't be a day past. I met with him on Saturdays and Friday nights. I'd be going over, and this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is, and I still have to fight it out. But he was right. Now, we met the next week. How'd it go? Oh, it went well. I had 3 quiet times. And I said, I want to tell you, one day I even went for 12 minutes. Oh, that's great. That's super. Way to go. Boy, just praise me. And for 6 months, I did it out of pure obedience because I knew I would be held accountable. But let me tell you, during those 6 months, I got to know Christ personally, intimately. I knew his sense of humor, his grace, his forgiveness. And I want to warn anybody that I've ever told the quiet time about the quiet time, be very careful, it's habit forming. In the 42 years that I've been a Christian, maybe you can count on one hand the times that I have missed. Maybe it's because I was in the hospital, whatever. And that's no big deal on my part. It's what I have to have, like I have to have oxygen, like I have to have water. It's not unique just with man. Sometimes it's a quiet time, sometimes it's not a quiet time. Sometimes God has issues he wants to deal with in my life. And I live out in the country sometimes, and when I'm going down, you know, they deliver a paper in the mail or something down there. I go put something in the mailbox, and I'm singing, His Name is Wonderful. I live out in the country, so it doesn't bother a whole lot of people. Or how great thou art, and I see the sun coming up, or I look up and see the stars. And sometimes God has to deal with me in some areas of disobedience, pride, whatever. It says over there in Mark 1:34 that a great while before day, Jesus went to a solitary place and there he prayed. Why do you think Jesus knew the need of a quiet time, Son with the Father? Why would Jesus need a quiet time? He's God. Why would he need a quiet time? It was hard for him because people followed him around, but he found time to do it. Why would Jesus need a quiet time?
Would it be for an example for us?
That's one that we can look to. An example for us would be one. Also, it says over in John that Jesus knew where he came from. He came from the Father. He knew what his purpose was. That was the cross. And he knew where he was going, to be with the Father. One and three are good. Two is not good. He knew he was a baby that was born to die. He knew what his purpose was. He was going to have to go to the cross. That in itself is a horrible thought. But what happened at that cross, the Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It was bad enough to suffer the pain of the cross, but the whole weight, every sin that I've ever done, that you've ever done, and you have to understand, he was sinless. It says in Hebrews, he was tempted in every way that we are, but he never sinned. Peter said, there was no guile found in him. Oh, Peter, don't you think those guys didn't look at him pretty close? And he became sin. He knew the need of a quiet time. He needed to be reassured by the Father. He needed to be encouraged. And you say, well, it was easier for him because he was God. But it wasn't. He was all God, but he was all man. He did not press a button somewhere where he wasn't tempted or he didn't feel depression or discouragement or anything like that. No. If he did, I couldn't identify with him. Jesus knew the need of a quiet time, time alone with the Father. Before he picked the disciples, he prayed. Okay. He said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. I am to deny myself. That's saying no to self. You and I have three major enemies in the world. And there's no way we can defeat them. We have our flesh, we have the world system, and the devil. We are no match for any one of those, much less all three. Now, if I'm going to deny myself, say no to the flesh, take up my cross daily, and follow Jesus, I can't do that apart from Him. You know, I was thinking about what Kent was talking about this morning. If you go out and you're working in the life of another person, and you don't have that strength that only Christ can give you by spending time with Him, you better double check your motive. You better double check if you really have a love for that person and a love for Christ and want them to come to know Christ, or it's something that you're building your own ego that you can go tell somebody, well, you and I never saved anybody. We need to be equipped. We need to be protected. We need to be assured of God's love. I've had people start a quiet time and just pick out the verses where God tells them that He loves them. Because sometimes when tough times come, it's easy to doubt that. The Bible says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I have to spend time with truth to know what truth is. Quiet time, we find out what's on God's mind. That's events, and what's on His heart is people. When, anybody in the service, been in the Army, military? Okay. I don't know if they still do. They used to have a duty roster. And a duty roster, you gave the orders for the day. You had things you had to do. Now, I don't know whether, has that changed? But you pretty well have things that you're told to do. If it doesn't move, salute it. If it does, paint it. Yeah. Yeah, that's... We used to have a duty roster. And it was every morning it was posted. This is what you're supposed to do. Okay. A quiet time... How can we know what the orders of the day are if we don't spend time with the commander? I get my orders for the day. God speaks to me through the Word and I respond back to Him in prayer. You see, if I don't have some kind of a platform to go for, I'm spending all my time praying for myself. Now, it's not wrong to pray for yourself. Please, don't misunderstand me. But if I'm not careful all the tribulation and all the tough times come in, I'm praying for God to rescue me rather than help me to get through it and for me to learn from it. You got to spend time. And during the war between the states, George McClellan was commander of all the Union Army. And... He's a vain kind of guy, a good organizer. And one day he had gone to some kind of a meeting, and President Lincoln, his secretary John Hay, and the Secretary of State William Seward called on General McClellan at his home in Washington. He wasn't there. So they waited in the drawing room for his return. And about an hour and a half, he shows up. He passes by the drawing room, looks in and sees President Lincoln and the other two men, walks and goes upstairs. So they wait for about 30, 45 minutes and they ask his servant to go up and tell General McClellan that they're waiting. And so the servant does and he comes back down in about 5 minutes and said, General McClellan has retired for the night. Left the president, the secretary of state, in his drawing room. So as they left, everybody was irate except Lincoln. He said, I would hold his horse if he would give me success. And we repel at that. We think, what kind of arrogance is that? And yet, isn't that sometimes how we treat God? That He comes in at the tail end, if we even acknowledge Him at all. What was the first thing that happened in the temple when Christ was crucified? The very first thing after He died, what happened? Curtain was torn from top to bottom. That curtain, and that wasn't just some flimsy, that was a thick curtain. The high priest could enter that once a year. And only He could, to pray for the people. Now, you and I have access into the Holy of Holies. We don't go through an appointment secretary to talk to Christ, to talk to Almighty God. We don't have an appointment. We get instant access. You know, we think about how much the quiet time does for us, and that's good. That's right. But we don't understand that it pleases God to spend time with us. There's nobody I'd rather spend time with than my wife, Tommy. We're more in love now than we were 48 years ago when we got married. And you know, we just like to talk. Just, how's your day? What's going on in your life? What? And if you were to ask me, what did you and Tommy do? We just were together. We just were together. What a sweet time. Now, don't expect every time for you to hear bells and all kinds of good things. Especially if you're struggling in an area of disobedience or trying to go your own way or whatever. You need to get those things straight. And you don't know how much, I don't know physically if I'm going to be able to do a whole lot of things physically. I get older, might be infirm, might be bedfast, whatever. But I can pray, and if I can't read the scriptures, I can have the scriptures read to me. I can have my time with the Lord. First of all, too, the devil hates it. The devil doesn't like this. He doesn't like worship service. He doesn't like small group Bible studies. He doesn't like one-on-one. But what he really hates is for a person to get alone with the Lord to do business. He hates that. He'll do everything he can to interrupt it. A lot of times when I can sleep in or something like that, the phone will ring, something will happen. Nearly every time, all kind of interruptions. And if anything else, if I can do anything that he hates and I can do it, that's motivation for me to do it. I don't like that rascal. And I wrote down here, starting to trust Jesus is one thing, it's quite another to continue to trust. His disciples, who were closer to him than anyone, One betrayed him, one denied him, and the rest all ran away from him. And I used to look over there at John and say, John, you know, you're laying over there next to Jesus, and you ought to be like Andrew. You ought to be out there circulating the people and bringing the people to Jesus. That's what old Andrew did. Philip got the Greeks, and he brought them to Andrew, and Andrew took them to Jesus. But I got to apologize to John. He didn't want to get very far away from the Master. And James and John, Mama came to Jesus. When you go into your kingdom, I want you to put one of my babies on your right, another baby on your left. And I thought, boy, how. And the other disciples didn't like that, grumble about it. Boy, I can understand that. I want to get as close to Jesus as I can get and stay there. Stay there. Sometimes our quiet times may seem boring and dull. In John 6:30, the Jews were talking to Jesus, said, "You want us to believe in you, you'll have to do miracles." And in this Living Translation, they said, "What will you do for us? What will you do for us in order for us to believe?" No, Lord. Let me tell you, if he does not do another thing in my life, all eternity will not be long enough for me to thank him and live in gratitude. If he doesn't do any other blessing in my life, if nothing happens, what he's already done. If we don't spend time with the shepherd, we soon won't be able to distinguish his voice from other influences and voices. We begin to hear all kinds. Then we begin to doubt him when troubles come. He said, "These things I have spoken to you that you might have peace. For in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world." There again, if you look at your sheet here, 66, as I did a character study of Jesus, and the neat thing is, everybody in this room might do one, and you might come up with a different conclusion, what that book in the Bible says about Jesus, says he is or what he does. You might come up with a different conclusion. I hope we have enough. If not, I'll give you mine. Yeah. But Job says he identifies with our suffering. Ecclesiastes says he's the provider of ultimate satisfaction. Luke says he's perfection. We're not talking about 66 different people. We're talking about one. And I was thinking, what would I do if I had the opportunity to spend some time with truth? Man, I'd grab it. Because there's so many things. What's really true? Pilate said, what is truth? I get to spend time with truth. He tells me what's real and what's false. He tells me what His will is. Shows me His character. And assures me I'm not alone. Whatever situation that you're in, He can identify. You know, I have counseled some people, and some of them were involved in things that I couldn't tell them. I know how you feel because I've never been there. I haven't been especially walking in their moccasins. But He has. He knows. And boy, that's a comfort. He's been there. I have overcome the world. He didn't need to do that for Himself. He did that for us. It's one thing to know God, quite another to be known by Him. You know, if one of you would tell me that, you know, President Bush, I'd be impressed, but say President Bush knows you, that is impressive. It's something to say I know God. It's something else to be known by Him. Do you understand? The Bible says the very hairs of your head are numbered. I mean, why would you even want to know? I can't tell you within 1,000 how many hairs are on my wife's head. I don't know. He does. Why would you even want to know? Because He knows everything about you and He loves you. To come to Christ, there has to be some degree of brokenness. One is humbled when he's broken. And that humility is maintained as we spend time with the Lord. True humility is understanding who God is and seeing who I am. That doesn't think less of myself or more of myself. I'm looking at perfection and looking at imperfection. That keeps you humble. That keeps you humble. Time spent with Christ will influence what kind of witness we are and how much fruit we're producing for the kingdom. I don't know how many strokes I have left. I don't know how much more fruit that I can... That God can... It's His fruit. He said, I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Whew. Oh, come on. I mean, I've gone to states and through states, and they've got bridges, and they've got the names of the senator that provided the money to build that bridge. And I've gone into buildings, and there'd be a senator whose name's on that building. But it's not going to last. He's talking about that, so it's going to last forever. Without me, you can do nothing. But on the other hand, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I have to have that assurance. I have to have that truth as I come to Christ. Okay, what would be some things that would hinder you having a quiet time? What do you think? What are some things that would hinder us having a quiet time? Yeah, that's right. Staying up too late. Staying up too late. What else?
Children.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Give us some help here. All right. It's easy, as Helen said, staying up too late the night before, get a good night's sleep. That'll help. All right. What do we do with children? Okay. You get up before they get up. That means maybe just 7 minutes early. Yeah, you get up before they get up and have a quiet time. Yeah.
And that means you have to
have time for that's right. That's right. That's right. And especially, you know, I've got where that afternoon nap seems pretty nice. But let me tell you, ask God to provide that time for you. It doesn't have to be in the morning. Now, for me, it's important in the morning. I like to set the day, but I know other people. My little sweet Tommy, it's the last thing she does that has on her mind is her time with the Lord in prayer. She has hers late at night. Because she gets up and she keeps church books and school books. And boy, in the morning, the phone starts ringing early. Right at time for bed is her best time. And for a place, you know, I was teaching the Bible in a little Christian school in Yukon. And I told them, you know, find a place. If you have to sit out in the car, you have to shut yourself in the bathroom, whatever, doesn't make any difference. He'll be there. You pick the time, he'll be there. You pick the place, he'll be there. And I tell you what, it may require a little bit of a task to do it, but if you want bad enough, you can find the time and you can find the place. I never had any trouble at all finding time to spend with my Tommy when I was courting her. Man, I look forward to it. If you want it bad enough, and you know, I had to kind of start, Lord, help me want to spend time with you. Now I've seen what happens in the lives of other people that are doing this, and there's no shortcuts, but there's nothing that pays the dividends like the quiet time. And as I said, men that I've talked with that have gotten out of fellowship, that have left their wives for another woman, that are just so messed up, and you just tell me about yourself. And one guy was going through a divorce, and he spent 45 minutes telling me what a terrible wife he had. And I mean, he just on and on, and we were at a Whataburger, and he was just, what a terrible wife. And I said, okay, I've listened to this. I said, tell me about you. How's your quiet time coming? Boy, it made him mad. What's that have to do with it? I said, now I'm not going to tell you that you having a quiet time is going to make your wife nice. But spending time daily with the Lord will bring you comfort. Also, He will direct your steps, what you need to do. You might need to be a better husband. He said, I haven't had a quiet time in 6 months. And often we run away from the only one who can help us. It's strange, but we do that. Okay, what else hinders us from a quiet time? Children, staying up too late. What else? What else do you think?
I get through it all, but it just seems an impossible
task. Yeah, that's true. Before I became a Christian, I set out to read the Bible, but it was all a big ego trip. And I was reading King James and gotten all those begats, and I gave it up as a poor effort. But I tell you what, I might read a chapter, and I might read five verses. And what I've done, let me tell you what's helped me. And of course, you can't do it in 7 minutes. But the Navigators had a Navigator 2-7 Bible study. Oh, thank you. Navigator 2-7 Bible study. It's the best study in the world on going over the basics. And I went through it several times. The first time was in 1980. And you had this Bible reading highlights record. And what I do is you have the date, and you can just do this on notebook paper. The date and what you read, all right, on the 9th of this month, it was on a Sunday. I read Acts 17, verses 16 through 34. I write the verse verbatim out of the Bible, and that's in the blue ink, and the black is how I'm going to apply it. Now, One thing, too, I'm a prideful person, and I keep all these. And it's a lot of fun to go through them, but I don't want to have a blank. It's like a missing tooth up front. And the thing about it is, the idea that you take, whether it's five verses, whether it's four chapters, whatever, with you have the idea that, God, you're wanting to talk to me. This is how you talk to me. Help me to be open and receive what you're going to tell me. And, you know, it's easier some books than the others, but you get over there in Numbers and some of those places, and they had all the tribes and started telling them how they went through the desert. And I'm thinking, what's that got to do with anything? And I start drawing it out. All right, I want this tribe here, these three tribes here, these three tribes here. I want the Ark of the Covenant in the middle, these three tribes out in front, and these three down here at the bottom. There's 12 tribes. The Ark of the Covenant's in the middle, and I drew it out. It was the shape of a cross. And when they were going through the wilderness, the first tribe that would run into problems was the tribe of Judah, Jesus' tribe. And I just drew it out. It's in there for a reason. It's in there for... And don't be disturbed if you don't understand everything that's written down. God wrote it. Now, a lot of people think this is man's best thoughts about God. No. If man wrote it, it wouldn't be written the way it was written. I promise you. No, it wouldn't. That's all right. Just leave that. But all right, Lord, what is it today you're wanting to tell me? And how can I respond? How can I apply it? Help me today. Help me today, whatever it takes to be less of me, more of you. Years ago, I was doing this character study on the life of Christ, and woven all through that, like a golden thread through his life, was servanthood. Servanthood. So I had the opportunity to be in Hawaii, and I was out there looking at that beautiful blue-black ocean and that white foam, and I said, oh, Lord, I'll do anything to be a servant. I want to be a servant. Because servant is free to serve. And you're my master. I'm your servant. So teach me. And I understand I've got an old sin nature I struggle with. Help me to be a servant. We were starting a brand new church in Yukon, and they put me in charge of discipleship. And I worked. I had a 5-year discipleship program. I'd stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning working on that thing. So we had a little old small church, had like 60 people. And so we did what you never should do, and that's passing out accolades to people. We need to recognize so-and-so for all his work. And well, our big thrust was discipleship. So I just knew they'd call my name. I was sitting ready on the edge of my chair, ready to get up and to do all the little, aw, shucks, all the kind of stuff. And they said, now we need to recognize the person that's responsible for our discipleship ministry being great like it is. And we owe him a debt of thanks, and they called out this other guy's name. And everything within me wanted to protest. Wait a minute, he had helped me, but this was my deal. And he's getting credit for it in that still, small voice saying, Fisher, is it more important to you that people are coming to Christ, growing in Christ, and reproducing, or that you'll get some kind of a passing little pat on the back, and you didn't do anything anyway, I did it. Now, which is more important? And hey, oh, by the way, remember when you prayed to be a servant? I'm answering that prayer. That's where God's sense of humor, God's grace. On this one quiet time, and I guess, what time we get through here? Five after? Five after, okay. And if anybody has any questions, feel free to jump in. But in the time that we have left, we'll go over this quiet time. Now, either my wife or my daughter put this together. I'm sure not smart enough to do that. But they put it together. But this is something that maybe you can take and work at home. They said to Moses, "You speak to us and we'll hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." Moses, you go talk to God and come back and tell us what God says. You and I, we've talked about that. The curtain is split. Once we realize we've constantly been showing disrespect to God, we're filled with shame and humiliation for ignoring Him. We show how little love we have for God by preferring to listen to His servants rather than to Him. We like to listen to personal testimonies. We don't want God Himself to speak to us. Why are we so terrified for God to speak to us? It is because we know that when God speaks, we must either do what He asks or tell Him we will not obey. Oswald Chambers. One moment after a man died, he knew exactly how he should have lived, but then it's too late. Too late to relive his life, make his choices, this time following the king more faithfully. The more time you spend with God, the less mistakes you make. The less wrong choices you make. You still make wrong choices? Yeah. Because we're battling the flesh, the devil, and the world system. There's a tug of war. The very first problem we had, our first parents had that same problem. We'll be God in our own lives. You don't tell us. We'll be God. We'll decide what's good and evil, right or wrong. We don't need you to tell us. That's a struggle you and I have today, as who is going to be Lord in my life. Spending time with perfection keeps me humble. Plus, I have a little wife that keeps me humble in a loving way. Well, I got to tell you, I was speaking at a assisted living center and had little 80 and 90 year old ladies, and I was sharing a stem winder of a sermonette. I mean, Billy Graham himself couldn't have done better. I mean, I was feeling so good about that. And after I got through, I was going around shaking the hands of the little old ladies, telling them goodbye, I'll see you next week. And this one sweet little old lady said, "Are you going to share the word with us today? I just got through that stem winder that so impressed me." I swallowed and said, "Well, no, ma'am, I think I'll just go on home." "Oh," she said, "I'm so sorry. We always get so much out of it when you speak to us." So I was driving home. "Lord, I am so sorry. I'm such a thank you." And so another Sunday, our pastor's wife, who is young enough to be my daughter, and just beautiful, got a beautiful singing voice, wonderful lady, and much younger than I am. So after she sang and we were getting ready to leave, one of the little ladies said, "Is that your wife?" And I said, "No, ma'am, that's our pastor's wife. I could hardly wait to go home and tell Tommy Sue." And she's putting the offering in, getting ready for the deposit. And I said, "Well, honey, the old man doesn't look too old. Had one of the ladies at the home ask if Bonnie was my wife." She never looked up. "How was her eyesight?" I said, "Barely able to distinguish black from white." That's what I thought. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I need lessons in humility. But easy to be humble when you meet with perfection. And yet I'm not overwhelmed by that. Now, isn't that something? I'm not overwhelmed with the holiness of God because He has torn the curtain from top to bottom. He knows my frame. He knows how weak I am. But He doesn't always intend for me to live in my weakness. God has given every believer gifts, and He intends for you to use, you know, whether it's teaching, preaching, hospitality, service, whatever, God has given us gifts. God is present in every believer. He's prominent in a few. He's preeminent in a very few. That's what I'm aiming for. Now, I haven't arrived yet. I'm still working on prominent. But preeminence, that's the goal. That's what I'm grabbing for. That's what I want. And that can only happen, it's directly related to the time I spend with Him. Is Christ just going to be present in my life? That's great, but there's more. I found out that He answers prayer in one of four ways. He answers every prayer I've ever prayed. Yes, no, wait, and I can do better than that. I love that one. I can do better than that, Mike. I had a guy ask me one time, tell me that God had never answered a prayer of his. I said, that's strange. He's answered every one of mine. He said, you mean He answers the way you pray? I said, no, mercy, no. That would be like getting a little toddler and put a loaded .357 Magnum pistol in his hand. What would happen? Well, he'd shoot himself and everybody else in the family and all the pets. And that's the same way with me, praying for things. The answer is no. No, Mike. No. But it's answered. And see, I realize that as I spend time with him. A person's will is embodied in the action of the whole person. I cannot give up my will. I must exercise it, putting into action. I must will to obey. It's one of the strongest, best gifts that God has given you is a will. In the morning, when it's dark, the flesh says, stay in bed. You don't have to have a quiet time. You can miss this morning. God will love you. That's right, I understand that. The will says, get up. Get up. The flesh always obeys the will. You have to submit. You have to die to self. Jesus said, Father, if there be any other way, remove this cup from me. Is there any other way we can do this? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done.
Because I had the brilliant idea, well, I can just lay here, and before I get up and have my quiet, the next thing I knew, I'm waking up again.
That's right.
You know? So,
and it's easy to postpone it, and then when you postpone it, it is a subtle thing. The devil will take what you're going to give him. He cannot take anything that God has given to you. You can hand it to him. You cannot use it. But he'll take whatever you give him. He is so subtle. If you'd have told me that when I was a little boy, that by this time we will have aborted 43 million babies in the United States, I would have said, no way. Adolf Hitler didn't murder that many people. Very subtle. He didn't come right out and tell Adam and Eve, eat this fruit and you'll be cursed. He didn't tell them that. He said, eat this fruit and you'll be what? Like God. He tempted them to do good. You'll be like God. You'll make up the right decisions and wrong decisions. He didn't tempt them to do evil. He tempted them to do good. That's why you need to spend time with the truth. Because we have all these messages, all these things coming to us. We need to determine what is right and then act on it. The major thing, like this was needful for me, I'd say my quiet time now, because I've got the time to do it, may mean several hours. I've found out that my prayer, praying for other people, will probably be 75% of my quiet time. Just praying for people. During the prayer time for others, make a list of your family members. Pray for them one day. I tell you what, the newspaper is a marvelous prayer list. Newspaper, front page of the paper. Somebody's murdered somebody. Young Marine was buried this week for his parents, his family. For our president, regardless of what your politics are, God tells us to pray for those in authority. Make a list. President, Vice President, Secretary Rice, Secretary Gates, Joint Chiefs, General Petraeus, the U.S. Senate. Ask God to raise up godly people to lead us. Pray for the Supreme Court. Pray for legislative, judicial, and executive branches of government, local, state, and federal. As you pray for yourself, Lord, help me to be faithful. I've got a young friend that I've been meeting with on Monday nights. January, he leaves for Baghdad. I asked him how I could pray for him other than God would protect him. He said, pray I'll be faithful. Pray I'll stay faithful. Pray that God will give me a ministry and maybe some guys I can share with. So you're not at a loss at having a prayer list. Okay. In the Old Testament days when it was burnt offering, whole, no part held back, was laid on the altar. Fire came out of the presence of the Lord and accepted the gift. It's when I bring ourselves, the whole offering to the Lord, and lay ourselves thus upon the altar, that fire comes, God accepts the gift. Now I made up my mind when I gave my life to Christ, Lord, I don't want this to be half measure. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable for God to ask it. The only thing about a living sacrifice is it crawls off the altar. No, Lord. No half measure. No crawling off the altar. Sometimes if I think about it, a lot of times I have to get right up. But as I land in bed right before I get up, all right, this is the altar. I'm a sacrifice. Wholly acceptable. And that's my reasonable service. Many are afraid to make full surrender to God because they fear God's will. They're afraid God may do something dreadful, some hard thing. Remember that God, who God is, He is infinite love. Yeah, we get the wrong idea of God. Boy, I'm so glad I'm a Christian. The idea that there's an angry God, that, oh, there are people having fun there. No. What's God like? He's like Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Who had more fun at the wedding feast than Jesus? Nobody. Little children. You know, kids, little ones, are great. They can really discern love. And they'd see him coming, here they'd come. And the, you know, they'd crawl up in his lap, and the disciple says, get the kids away. Mothers, get your... No, Jesus said, suffer the little ones to come to me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Kids, little ones, respond to love and joy. And Jesus was a man acquainted with sorrows. I understand that, but that was unique for him. That wasn't every day for him. He manifested joy. The very thing at the shadow of the cross, he prayed that the disciples might have his joy. As he was going to the cross, he talked about his joy. And you see, you spend time with him. And when tough times come, He said, all things work together for good to them that are love God and are called according to His purpose. And in the next verse, it tells you what that good is. For God, who God did know, He also did predestined, that they might be conformed into the image of His Son, Jesus, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. The good that, whatever happens in my life, God brings it about. And He uses it for good. What is that good? To conform me in the image of Christ. So I can be thankful for it, or whatever it is, because God's going to use it to conform me into the image of Jesus Christ. Whatever comes in my life, God brings it. He directs it. You break your arm, the bone's sticking out. Oh, praise God, I broke my arm. No. God, what are you going to do through this? And a lot of times, Lord, I don't like this situation I'm in. I can't fool you. I don't like it. I wish it wouldn't happen. I wish I wouldn't be going through it. But I can be thankful, Lord, because you have promised to work it together for good. And that good is you're going to use this in my life to conform me into Christ's image. And for that, I can be grateful. For that, I can be thankful. And the end result is when the Bible says we're going to be with Him, we're going to be like Him. Not little gods, but free from an old sin nature. And that in itself, to be free of this thing I've carried around for 71 years, like a ball and chain, I'll be free of it. That's the sweetness of heaven to me. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. There's nothing to be feared in God's will. God's will always prove in the final outcome the best and sweetest thing in all of God's universe. Lay your will down, look to the Father. And these are some questions, like for you to just to go through. What has kept me from surrendering from God in the past? And are there errors I've refused to give Him? Name them. What are they? What have you not given to Him? Why? What steps do I need to take in order to be a whole offering to Him? I don't want your sacrifices, I want your love. I don't want your offerings, I want you to know me. To know God, that's the most intimate word in the Bible. Adam knew Eve and she conceived and bore him Cain. To know is intimate, personally. That's how God knows us, that's how God wants us to know Him. When it comes right down to it, we have two choices, walking with God or walking away from Him. Spending time with Him helps us to walk with Him. Regardless of what we may think, there's no in between. If you are not having a quiet time presently, and you might have, and you know, there's something you might have done, and you've just kind of been busy. We live in the most active world that I've ever seen. I'm past my time. Things have gone past me. And we're like a little squirrel that's on a treadmill. We're living faster and enjoying it less. I would challenge you to come back, to try that 7-minute formula. 7 minutes. If you don't have 7 minutes in your time schedule, you're too busy. There is nothing you're going to do in your day, nothing as important. I mean your work, your school, whatever you do, there's nothing more important for you to do in a day than to spend time with the Lord. Nothing, nothing beats that in importance. Nothing is as vital to you. Nothing means more to God than to spend time with you. To spend time with you. When I think of, and I love this this one verse. I think it's in here. If not, it ought to be. My contentment is not found in wealth, but knowing you And when I awake in heaven, I'll be fully satisfied, for I will see you face to face. Psalm 17:15. When I awake in heaven, I'll be fully satisfied. God is, when you lead somebody to Christ, that's great. You have an involvement in their life, that's super. But I have a feeling it's not, you know, it's not what God has done through us is as if we really know Him. Lord, I've done all these things for you. Done all these things. You didn't know me. That's where it's got to begin. I asked the question, how do you come to know anybody? You answered it. You spend time with them. That's right. It's the only way to get to know anybody. Spend time with them. When I think of standing before the throne looking into Jesus' face, will I truly be satisfied with the choices I've made? Why or why not? I want to be able to stand before Christ and say I did what I could with what I had where I was. I don't want in heaven a whole storehouse full of blessings and things that I could have used on earth. I want that to be empty. I want to use it all up now. I want my relationships to be right. Somebody say, boy, they won't be reconciled this side of heaven. Why waste time in heaven being reconciled to somebody you can be reconciled to now? I want to hit heaven running. Don't want to waste time being reconciled, making things right that I could do now. God tells you what that is and He helps you do it. God's desire is His relationship with me. Help me, Lord, to have this be my utmost desire as well. What constitutes the reservoir that I draw from. Lord, help me to want to spend time with you as much as you want to spend time with me. Help me see how important and vital that is, not only to me, but how it... And God doesn't have any needs. He's complete. He doesn't have any needs, but He has things that pleases Him. He has things that brings a smile to His face that He enjoys. I remember when my babies were born and now my grandbabies and my great-grandbaby. And of course then, you know, the dad's going right in the birth room now. Back then they stuck all the dads in a room somewhere out of the way. And we'll come and get you when the baby's born. And I remember coming up to the window and I was oblivious to any other baby but the Fisher baby. Let me see the Fisher baby. Oh, she is the man. She's the prettiest thing I ever saw. You know, all red and wrinkly. Oh, beautiful baby. Looks just like her mama. It's wonderful. God loves us like we're the only child He has. He loves each one of us like we're the only child He has. Say, how can God do that? He can. He is total, complete, unconditional, agape love. And it's actually His love coming down from Him to us, through us, out to others, and back to Him. It's His love. See, my love is conditional. I love you. If you love me or if you accept my love, that's not love. But His love is, you know, we wait for the other shoe. What is it I have to do? Nothing. I love you. Yeah, but you love me when I'm obedient. Yeah, and I love you when you're disobedient. You love me when I'm good. Yeah, and I love you when you're bad. I love you. For God so loved you personally. The gospel for you, the good news is, so God so loved you. It was great He loved the world. It's great that He loves everybody. But the gospel for me is, He loves me so much that He gave His only begotten Son. I don't understand it, folks. I don't understand it. Why would God want to meet with me? Why is it important to Him to meet with me? Why does He love me so much? In spite of who I am and what I do? I don't understand it. Don't understand it. I accept it. I don't know how I can turn my TV on and get a football game up in Detroit. But I can. I don't know how it works. Somebody could probably explain, but I wouldn't understand it. But I enjoy it. Application, Lord, make me a sinner, saved by grace, as holy as you can. Identify with me with your death until I know that sin is dead in me. With my mouth I've declared my trust in you, but with my heart I've shown myself unfaithful. Help me today to stand firmly in my trust in you and rise above the circumstances. Whatever comes my way, may I rest in the power of your resurrection. May I seek your face. May I hold on to your unchanging love. Thank you for knowing me, choosing me, and loving me. Amen. So be it. Let's pray. Father God, we so thank you for this time. Thank you for your word, your faithfulness. And Father, I pray that anything that has come from me would soon be forgotten. It's hay and stubble. It's not worth anything. But that which comes from you, that which is from you, Lord, it might only be remembered, but it would be applied. Help us to be faithful, to spend time with you, to understand how meaningful that is for you. Help us, Lord, to desire it, to be faithful to do it. Lord, it's amazing just that you want to have anything to do with us, much less that you love us so much. And so we do for any good thing that's happened out of this time together. We'll be careful to give you the praise and you the glory. And look forward, Lord, to continue to spend time with you, having you speak to us and having us to respond back to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.